Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you go friggin' nuts. And my very special guest is Robbie Kaiviti, and we've got him for one more segment before we bring on another guest from New Zealand, incidentally talking about racial issues in New Zealand. And we mentioned biculturalism before. Did you know that English is not even an official language of New Zealand?
Well, I didn't actually know that, Vinnie, to be quite honest, but that's kind of bizarre, isn't it?
We have two official languages, Māori and Sign Language, and English is not on that list as one of the official languages. What?
Yeah, strange. Look, one of the things I love most about living in New Zealand, and truly it just gets me every time, I can walk down Queen Street, mate, and in the course of an hour, I can meet people from every corner of the globe, every religion and every political persuasion. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things, one of the most wonderful features of this country. That diversity enriches us, absolutely enriches us. And why we can't embrace that more than we have, I'm a little bit confused, because I come from a multicultural background myself.
Maybe the problem with diversity is that it's very difficult to unite people against a common enemy.
Well, I think people do unite around nationhood. I don't particularly want to talk about the Israelis, but if we look at Israel, it is a multicultural country, and it is certainly a country that has united around nationhood. This is a country with people coming from all sorts of places, and they've managed to do that. Unfortunately, they've got some other problems, which I don't want to get into. But, I think there's lots of examples around the world of multicultural countries managing to unite. I think a very bad example of a multicultural nation is UK. I think they failed dismally in managing to bring together their people under that sort of one nation kind of concept. They've got some shocking problems over there. And I feel sad for the country, because it's all going to blow up in a rather unpleasant sort of way.
I heard a statistic out of the Daily Mail, I think, or it might have been the Telegraph. There's certain schools in London where 8 out of 10 children, English is their second language.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. I was in Britain a while back, and I was amazed walking through one or two schools that all the signage in the school was in everything but English. There was Arabic was the preferred language for signage in one of the schools that I went to, and I thought it was kind of bizarre. I was waiting for a bus in Piccadilly Circus, and I didn't realise that you had to have the right change to get on the bus. And this rather lovely old London girl came up to me and said, "You know, you got to have the right money, son, you know." And she launched into this incredible tirade about how she felt that she was a stranger in her own land. And then she looked at me smiling. She pressed a few coins into my hand, the dear old thing, and said, "Oh, it's lovely to meet somebody like you who's not a foreigner, you know?" And I said, "I come from New Zealand, dear, you know? I'm a colonial." And she said, "Oh, you know what I mean." Well, to some degree, this kind of impressed on me all of the problems that that Britain has, and I came away from that very small experience, and I said to my partner at the time, I said, "Britain's in for a lot of trouble. It's going to happen." And sure as darn, that's exactly where Britain's going at the moment. They've got some awful problems, and I don't know how they're going to work them out. But in terms of this,
throughout history, I think mass migrations of foreign cultures into other countries has always resulted in a massive wave of racism and infighting in those countries. And I think this is being done deliberately, so that everybody's fighting with each other instead of fighting the beast that serves the same master.
You don't think that humans are just naturally racist, to be quite honest.
Oh, well, yeah. we actually are. We tend to stick with our own racial groups, and those ones that have a monoculture, countries around the world have virtually no racism, because when you see a foreigner, it's like, oh, it's a foreigner. You know, it's kind of like novel. It's when it's this, I don't know what the proportion is or whatever, but ignorance starts to spread as soon as fear of the outsider sets in. It's unavoidable.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the old propaganda machine starts to work, doesn't it? People dislike differences in others. And people go about this process of creating a false propaganda that they present to others. And you know, the world is fundamentally mindless. I read a statistic a while back that kind of really bothered me, actually, that the average IQ of the planet is 78. You know, that's next to being a vegetable, to be quite honest. There just seems to be this mindlessness. Basically, you can, so long as you have some sort of authority behind you, you can basically tell the people anything. And government uses this technique devastatingly. They're engaged in this kind of propaganda war against our most disadvantaged and disenfranchised in this country. You know, they've told us that the problem with this country is the unemployed. The problem with this country is a solo parents. The problem with this country is damned old folks, you know? They've actually started to try and tell us now that the problem with New Zealand is our pensioners. We don't have enough money for our pensioners. New Zealand is in a wonderful position. We're a very small country, Vinnie, and that actually advantages us. We need to get away from this growth at any cost kind of mentality that we have. There is great advantages in being a small country. What we actually need to do, if you want to look at the issue of pensions, is we need to actually ask New Zealanders to have more children, because if you want to pay for old age pensions, you need a younger crop of people coming along that are going to eventually go into the workforce and facilitate that. So we actually need to be, to put it very bluntly, we need to be asking New Zealanders to breed. But now here's the trick. If you're going to do that, you have to put families in a position where one person out of that couple can actually stay at home and do some child raising. If you look at our youth problems in this country, it comes down to, you know, it seems very complex, but actually the answers are quite simple. We have a lot of youth problems in this country, but what it really comes down to is simply this: there's nobody at home. We've got a system now that requires that a couple, well, both of them have to be working. You've got to be working to make your way in this life, because you need all these things, apparently. But what this country actually needs is good, solid families. And the way to get good, solid families, I don't want to say to go back to a kind of a traditional model, but in some ways we actually do. We have to put families in a position where when you do a fair day's work, you get a fair day's pay, and that enables you to look after your family in a reasonable sort of a lifestyle, a reasonable sort of lifestyle, and one parent needs to be at home. I don't care who that parent is. I don't care whether it's the guy or whether it's the lady of the family. I really don't give a darn. That's entirely up to them. But we've got to get back to a situation where people earn enough to simply be able to look after their families in a reasonable manner, and that they are able to have that parental supervisory kind of role over their children.
Well, I completely agree with you, and I was just thinking about this. You know how you get maternity leave, like this statutory amounts that the companies have to pay to a woman when she's pregnant, so that she can have like 6 months to get over the pregnancy and take the child through its immediate infancy. You know, maybe you could extend that for other people as well, for up to 5 years. I don't know, but that's just putting more rules and regulations. It'd just be much simpler if people were paid more, taxed less, so that they could actually afford to buy a home and take care of their freaking families in it and feed them.
That's exactly right. There's this rhetoric around, you know, higher wages, higher wages, higher wages. This will take care of all our problems. But it, actually, higher wages don't take care of our problems at all. Every time people get pay rises across the board, inevitably what happens is inflation goes up, the cost of living goes up. So you end up, if you look historically, you actually end up slightly worse off. Every time you get a pay increase across the board in this country, you tend to actually end up historically worse off. So pay rises is not the answer. That has to be done in conjunction with something else. We have to drive down the cost of living.
Indeed. Well, Robbie, we don't have enough time to get into all of these sorts of issues with you. I'm sure we could talk all day. And thank you very much for coming on the show with me, mate.
Thank you, Vinny. It's been very enjoyable, and I'll catch up with you for a drink sometime, I think.
All right. Cheers, mate. Some description of Glen Eden pub, I guess.
Oh, I guess. You have a great day, mate.
You, mate. Cheers.
Thanks, finally. Bye now.